The Human Genome Project gave scientists a list of 30,000 genes that we share. Still, no one knows what most of these genes do. To find out, researchers can use a device called a gene chip. It's the size of a postage stamp and can analyze tens of thousands of genes at once. As NPR's Nell Boyce reports, this powerful technology may also have some problems.
Gene chips were invented a decade ago. Now scientists use them all the time. Some go through so many chips that they have robots to churn them out. In a lab outside of Washington, D.C., one of these robots is dotting a tiny square of glass with pieces of DNA. One dot represents one gene. A single chip can hold a grid of 40,000 genes. Say you wanted to know how high blood pressure affects the genes of a heart. Scientists can simply grind up the heart and apply it to a chip. This is where the magic happens. The spots on the chip change color, showing which genes are turned on. Brian Frank works at the Institute for Genomic Research, known as TIGER. He shows off one of the colorful grids.
Most of the spots are yellow. You can see individual ones coming up as either red or green, and those are the ones that you're interested in.
These chips can reveal genes that cause disease. That could give drug makers new targets. Doctors could also use chips to test their patients and customize therapy. But as more and more researchers began to use gene chips, a serious problem emerged. John Quackenbush, who works at TIGER, says the chips didn't seem to give consistent answers.
People compared answers from one laboratory to another, or answers from one type of gene chip to another type of gene chip. Did the one chip agree with the other one? Well, sort of, but not so well.
That disagreement was a shocker. It meant that the chips could be producing meaningless results. To find out how bad the problem really was, Quackenbush and more than 60 other researchers took a close look at gene chips. In this month's issue of the journal Nature Methods, they say things aren't as bad as many people feared. One thing they found is that it doesn't really matter what kind of chip a scientist uses in an experiment. In one study, Quackenbush carefully compared a homemade chip produced in his laboratory with one bought from a company. 90% of the time, they gave the same results.
It was a surprise. We really worried that we wouldn't see results that were encouraging, is what we ultimately discovered.
Another team had less encouraging news. They compared results from 7 labs. Each lab used the exact same chip, but they got the same results just 20% of the time. That's because each lab had its own idiosyncratic way of doing things. Brenda Weiss says this kind of problem can be solved. She works at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences in North Carolina. She says that when labs were told to carefully follow the exact same set of procedures,
we were able to achieve a very high level of consistency across the labs, up to, you know, the high 90s%.
To make that kind of consistency routine, the government is now working with manufacturers and scientists to set up common practices. TIGER's John Quackenbush says that's essential if gene chips are ever going to leave the lab and move into the clinic.
That's what's really exciting. This is just another big push moving us towards the kinds of applications, the kind of tests that we all envisioned when we started working with chips.
And gene chips aren't important just for people. Scientists are accumulating a mountain of genetic data from all kinds of creatures, dogs, chimpanzees, even sea squirts. The list keeps growing, and so does the need for better gene chips that can help scientists make sense of it all. Nell Boyce, NPR News.